Hey, Mugwarts. Welcome to Wormwood and Witches,
a podcast all about the strange and unusual.
Tally
and Erica invite witches and weirdos from all backgrounds to the conversation of the mystic and divine.
Come fly with us on this journey as we explore ritual, magic, and the peculiar.
Hosted by Anchor, you can find us on all of your favorite streaming platforms.
You can also find us on Facebook at Wormwood and Witches Podcast or Instagram at Wormwood and Witches. Hello, hello, Erica.
Howdy, Gurgle Murgle.
Absolutely. That's my name. I just called myself Gurgle Murgle.
This is Wormwood and Witches with Erica and Gurgle Murgle.
Your new host.
Tally went on vacation.
I wish. I did not.
Unfortunately.
Have not.
One day.
Yeah. How's your weekend?
Good. Today was sunny, so it was nice.
Yeah.
The Puccini out.
Yeah.
Got him to like run around and play with a shit ton of other dogs.
That's good.
He like makes out with everybody though. I'm like, you're going to get mono.
Yeah, he's got to stop that business. Well, you know, he's a little teenager. So, yeah.
They had everybody.
He's cute. I'm glad. I can't believe how big he's gotten.
I know. I'm just like, don't go changing.
I know.
How's your weekend?
Lazy bones. A big old sack of lazy, which I'm okay with.
That's good once in a while. So
yeah. I took a nap around noon. Me, nice. The dog, and the kitty, we were all snuggled up on the couch snoring.
Nice.
Yeah.
I like it.
Hence the beanie. Not that anyone can see it, but
yeah, you and me both.
We were both wearing cold.
It's also been cold.
Yeah, it took me a minute to warm up as well last night and even today, but now I'm warm with a beanie and stuff and my gurgle murgles. Fun fact, I can't burp and I have, I ate, I think, too much hours ago and I am drinking sparkling water.
How's that? Another, I don't know what you're drinking.
Another sparkling water concoction with pomegranate juice, a little bit of lemon juice, and a little bit of lavender simple syrup.
Ooh.
Yeah, it's pretty good, but I shouldn't drink it, realizing that I'm going to be the one talking.
Yeah, this is going to be a fun kind of like surprise off the cuff episode, I feel like, because I've got nothing for y'all. It's a tally centric. Like I don't even know what the topic is. So this is going to be super fun.
Yeah. I thought it would be kind of fun to
surprise bitches.
Yeah. And then you're going to surprise me next time.
Yeah.
Can't wait.
Mm-hmm. I'm still deciding between a couple of different topics.
Ooh.
Like which one?
Well, wouldn't it be funny if this was close to something that you're wanting to do?
Knowing how you and I work,
yeah.
Yes, I would not be surprised.
I know, me either. And then you'll be like, God damn it, this was what I was supposed to do.
So what are we talking about today?
Well, first, what's your witchy woo?
I was
jumping ahead.
Yeah, it's my fiery Aries butt. So what is my witchy woo? I've started planting the seed of what I'm going to grow in my garden. So I'm thinking about which seeds I'm going to start ahead of time. So I'm very excited.
Nice.
Right now it's like come mid-February, it's going to be the ones that are like the 8 to 12 weekers ahead of time. The ones that take really, so I've got some cool double-decker echinacea. So those are kind of cool because it looks like echinacea petals in the cone part as well.
Ooh, it's fun. Okay.
Yeah. And then
what color is it?
There's still like the purple pink
Okay.
color. And then I've got like a lot of stuff that I'm gonna plant, but don't come at me, people, because I'm one of those folks that grow my tomatoes like super far in advance. So when it comes time to transplant, they're just already like fairly sizable boys.
Why is that bad?
Some people are just like, don't plant your seeds too early.
Well,
Like,
your plant, you're in, they're indoors, aren't they, right now?
they are, I
Yeah,
think.
I was like, there's
Some people
a
are just
shit ton of
like,
snow on the ground. You can't.
some people are just some people about it, you know, and they're just like, don't tell her, like, mom, 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 mom. I'm like,
Well, but
my
we
case.
live in an area where we have a really short growing season and it's with extreme temperatures. So it's either really cold outside or mild for like in between days of very, very cold weather, which you can't grow anything outside right now.
And
And
guaranteed,
tomatoes take like 180 days or
I
some
know.
shit. So, and then by that
Guaranteed.
time, it's end of June and it's 1,000 degrees outside.
Yeah.
So we can't, we have to start them basically
Spring
right
is
now.
not really throttled at all. And like guaranteed, like they always say, like plant at Mother's Day, right? But I still even wait a week afterwards, like for the
Yeah.
following weekend, because I always get burnt. And there's always a fucking hailstorm that comes through.
Oh yeah, hailstorms are the
And
worst.
besides, like the temperature drops and things get. I am curious to see. There are currently in my beds that I planted at the end of autumn, Brussels sprouts, carrots, and beets that had sprouted and started to grow a little bit. So I'm kind of curious how they're just like chilling over winter. Hopefully, they could still be doing something. I don't know.
Yeah, underground. And especially if the snow is covering on top, it kind of insulates them. So,
Keep some moist too.
yeah. Nice.
What's your witchy woo?
Well, a plug on Thursday. What day is that going to be? June, not June,
I was like,
January.
whoa.
Wearing our beanies in June, although that can happen.
The 26th?
January, huh?
Is it the 26th?
Yeah, the 26th at 7 p.m. I'm doing an Instagram live with Shale from Ouija Boards and Midnight Margs, but her herbal side, which is Thinning of the Veil Apothecary, and we're going to talk about herbs. I think she wants me to talk about mugwort because we talk about mugwort all the time. So now I'm like studying up because I am not a subject matter expert on mugwort. We just use it as our tagline. I mean, we do use like have it, we grow it and stuff, but yeah, so that'll be
That's
fun.
exciting.
Yeah, it'll be fun. I'm a little nervous.
So 7 p.m. Mountain Standard Time.
Mountain Standard.
So do whoever's listening, you can do your own calculations. I don't understand time zones.
We don't know where you live. Only you know where you live. Anyway, should we get into it?
Sure.
Are you ready?
I am.
I even made up a title and everything.
Ooh, so what's the title?
Poisonous plants and murderous malevolence.
Ooh.
I have these two. What did you say?
This is gonna be a good episode.
I hope so. I mean, I could have gone on and on and on and on, but I tried to just dial it back. I have two really amazing books. One is called The Poison Path Herbal by Kobe Michael, Estee Silk.
Ooh.
And this other one I recently ordered and got. It's called Poison, The History of Potions, Powders, and Murderous Practitioners by Ben Hubbard. And it's gorgeous.
Oh my God.
I mean, it is just gorgeous, people. I'll have to
I
post
might
a
have to
photo.
borrow that. Let her look through
Yeah, I
it.
mean, like the inside is just, it's just so pretty.
Oh
It's,
my God.
yeah, like just the photos and drawings, and there's a lot of history in here.
I'm a sucker for good artwork.
Yeah, but what I really liked is like half of it, maybe even more, are just like historical poisonings, even recent ones.
Ooh.
Yeah. So it's just really kind of cool. I don't know. It's just really pretty more than anything else.
That's awesome.
Yeah. So, and then a few things online, but, yeah, I just thought this book was just so pretty. And
the content sounds really good too. It's not one of those books where it's just like pretty to look at, but not like really good information wise.
Right. No, there's a lot of really cool stuff in here and old historic photos of, you know, like Dr. Mackenzie's Arsenical Soap.
Oh my God.
There's like an ad.
This reminds me of just literally working at friggin' the Molly Brown House Museum. Cause like the shit that the Victorians.
Those like, crazy Victorians.
Yeah. Like Edith, it is gonna keep you fucking young forever. And then you're gonna die at 35. Cause
you gonna be dead. Really, really, really want to do an entire episode of like beauty products, arsenic and beauty products. I think
that's in the future, man.
Awesome, especially after, I mean, I knew it was a thing, but just reading some stuff in this book and like how other people, one guy who was thought to be one of the Jack the Ripper suspects had slowly killed himself with arsenic because he thought it was like a, you know, a
fucking preservative, and you're like, yeah, it is.
No, like a cure-all kind of thing. So he thought it was benefiting him, but it didn't. And it ended up, I think Morbid actually does a really good job. I don't remember the name. People are going to be like, how do you not remember? It's famous. Blah, blah, blah. Well, I don't right now. And his wife went to jail for his murder. And she claims she never did it. Actually, could have been one of his brothers that like gave him a little more arsenic. Mm-hmm. He probably did it to himself.
Yeah. Really, like that shit. Like, I mean, your body can't probably, you know, process that. So, which is why it poisons you, I would assume. And so like,
yeah,
if you take enough, a little bit,
it's over the years,
up over time. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I also think that this subject probably intrigues us as archaeologists, because I remember working at the Arizona State Museum for a while. And one of the bottles that I had found, it mm-hmm. has nothing to do with arsenic, was Valentine's meat juice. And I was like, oh, it must be like a tenderizer, but it was just like an elixir thing for people to take. But yeah, like you get like these like really funky embossed bottles and you're like, what the fuck is this?
Oh, wow.
So yeah, Valentine's meat juice will always go down.
Valentine's meat juice. That sounds so gross. James Maybrick is the one. And Florence Maybrick was convicted of his death. It's like that.
Florence is such a great name.
Florence?
Yeah.
Yeah. Morbid did a really... They actually did a really great 5-part series on Jack the Ripper.
Huh.
I don't know if you heard it, but I was super hooked. And then later did James Maybrick and mostly focused on Florence because she was a really, actually really great person.
Huh. I'll have to go and listen to that episode.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Well, let's talk about our poisons.
Oh, sorry. I was looking up the Valentine's meat juice. Yeah, it's for a digestive aid.
Oh, of course. It's always a digestive aid.
Yeah.
You know what, people? Why don't you just use orange peel, okay? Just dry out some orange peel and you can chew on it like chips.
Interesting. I did not know that.
Yeah, orange peel is really... And I'm assuming lemon peel, maybe just any citrus, but orange is probably sweeter, so it'd be a little... easier to digest.
Oh man. So what do we got for...
All right. So there are all types of ways poisons can happen. Some have natural elements like animals, you know, snakes and spiders, things like that. Others can be lead, like Roman drinking and eating vessels. And, you know, right. And mercury, which I didn't know, was used in laxatives up until the 1970s.
What? Do you also remember in the early 2000s that mercury necklaces were like a thing? You remember this? Because I had one as a kid, and it's just like, looking back on that now, I was like, how the fuck did these, like, I remember them being banned in school too, because, right, like, they were always glass vials, and then they'd break, and then there was like mercury.
Well, and I grew up, it's probably what I still have, my thermometer has the mercury in it. And I remember my mom was always like, don't bite down on it. Or like, she scared me so much that I didn't even want to put it in my mouth for fear that I was going to somehow break it.
That's fair.
Yeah. Now they have like digital ones. Nope. Still have the mercury one where you can't, it's so hard to read. I'm not okay with it. I cannot read it.
You're like, so do I have a fever or do I not?
Yeah. I'm just going to say I do. Yeah. I can't ever tell. And others can be man-made or bacterial or the other natural element like plants.
Oh, man.
Also, exposure can happen by ingestion, inhalation, absorption, or injection. So basically, anyway.
When you smell dried out datura seeds and...
You know, that's the thing.
For a hot sec.
I don't ever smell datura.
I don't smell her as a flower, really.
Uh-huh. I know people say that there is a scent a little bit, but I don't smell anything. I didn't smell my henbane either, but I don't know that it got big enough to smell. Hopefully she comes back, but I don't know.
I feel like the only flowers that like have ever really been pungent for me, like thinking about my garden, is like the chamomile, the yarrow. And I mean, like, mugwort has kind of like a
sagey.
Yeah, sagey smell. Like, but other than that, like, not a whole lot of them are like, oh my God, this smells so good. Like,
Yeah, I don't really either.
I do love the smell of like fucking chamomile. Like, I was just like rubbing my fingers, like, in little fuzzies and stuff like that. I was like, oh, it smells so good.
It's really pretty.
It is. I'm going to try and grow some more this next year.
Well, good. So some history. Poisons have been happening since the beginning of time. Even chimpanzees have been documented ingesting it for to alleviate stomach illnesses, you know, digestion and stuff.
Ew, God damn it.
Which, you know, a lot of plants really do aid in ailments like that. And some poisonous plants do, but if you take too much, that's when the problem starts. But I mean we have other
non-poisonous plants. Alternatives that you can use that you're just like, is it gonna cure it or am I gonna die?
Yeah, so just stick with the ones that you know are not poisonous, please. This is not a podcast on how to murder your neighbor, so please don't do any of these things that I'm going to talk about. I am not responsible. Wormwood and Witches is not responsible for your actions. Okay.
Disclaimer.
Okay. Yeah. So, but then, you know, humans become evil people and start using it for nefarious reasons. And it's popular because it's easily accessible. It's a plant and pretty much colorless, odorless, and mostly tasteless. And if it does have a taste, a lot of times it could be sweet.
It just reminds me of fucking Princess Bride, where he's like, Iocane powder, odorless, tasteless. Like, have you ever seen Princess Bride?
Yeah.
Like looking at your blank face, where it's just like, never go up against a Sicilian when death is on the table.
I don't remember that part in particular. That's why I'm looking at you funny. I mean, there's a lot of good lines in that movie, so that one I don't quite.
Iocane powder for other people. please continue. I'm sorry.
You're never sorry. I'm always like, let me put in a space here because I'm pretty sure Erica's going to interrupt right here. I'm kidding. So a few famous political statement poisonings that we all know about, like Socrates for willingly drinking poison hemlock. He was convicted of impiety by the Athenian courts rather than renounce his beliefs. Now, I had to look up impiety.
Yeah, I don't know what that means. And also, is hemlock like poison hemlock, like that water, like that looks like Queen Anne's lace?
Yeah. Gotcha. Yeah, poison hemlock. Okay. We have a shit ton of it growing right by my house.
You're like, great. Yeah. Like, Oscar, don't eat it.
Yeah, don't breathe into it. And I've pointed it out to people. Anyway, so impiety, for those who don't know, is a perceived lack of proper respect for something considered sacred. It's basically being sacrilegious or being blasphemous.
Huh.
Yeah. And now, you know, once I've said the word, I've heard it. So I probably knew kind of what it meant in context, but I didn't know at the time. And then, of course, Cleopatra dying from the venom of an asp. In defiance of capture by Rome's Octavian. So one thing I didn't know was that she was reported as testing various poisons on her captors and recording the results.
Holy shit.
Yeah. So she knew what she was doing. Yeah.
Damn.
I know. That's wild. I never
knew
that.
Damn, sis.
I know. Like, all right. You were quite the badass.
Yeah.
Because these were like criminals. Well, quote unquote, who knows? It could have been, you know, stealing a loaf of bread.
Yeah. I wouldn't put anything past it, like with like places with slave labor and stuff. Just be like,
yeah. I mean, how criminal were they? We'll never know. But she was testing various poisons on them, regardless.
Damn.
Yeah. Yeah. Another one that we could probably do a whole episode on, and I probably covered more, and this might be that episode. It was like going down a wormhole of, oh my God, I forgot about all this. This is really cool. Is Julia Tofana. Does the name sound familiar? The
no.
17th century professional serial poisoner who sold aqua tofana. Have you ever heard that? Aqua tofana.
No, I actually haven't.
Oh my gosh. So her mom is quite possibly the inventor of this, who also poisoned her husband and I believe was hanged for that.
Oh, shit. This is in the 1700s?
Yes, 17th century.
Oh, so 16.
1600s.
Yeah. I was like, do you like my, like, wait a second, is what I just said correct?
You're like, carry the... Yeah. So what Julia did was she sold poison to women who needed to escape abusive husbands. So it sounds okay, but you know, there were probably some that were, you know, I don't like this guy anymore. I like somebody else. So it was like a matter of inconvenience.
Yeah.
There's got to be a few of those in there.
Oh,
because definitely. Not all men. Okay.
Yes.
But probably all men, especially in the
17th. But 99.9999%.
So this was taking place around the mid to late 1600s. Julia would disguise the poison in cosmetic packaging. And while everyone was seeking it out, knew it as aqua tofana, the bottle was labeled Manna of St. Nicholas of Bari, a popular healing oil at the time for blemishes. So it could just easily be sitting on your, you know, vanity, just out in the open, and no one would be wise to it. You're unsuspecting.
So the guys are putting like this blemish powder on themselves?
No.
Oh.
So aqua tofana was extremely lethal. It's colorless and tasteless and can kill you with just 6 drops.
Ooh.
But what was even more compelling is the poison went undetected even in death. So it could take days to kill a person, first starting with exhaustion and then some stomach aches to severe vomiting. And this would set the wife up for being taken care of as a widow because the person's like, obviously I caught an illness. Let me, you know, start writing out whatever will, if they had that at the time, you know, just so the wife would be set up. Mm-hmm. So this form of poisoning eluded detectives for decades until a woman had a change of heart before handing her husband the soup that she had made for him and confessed to it all. So yeah, so the guys weren't putting it on themselves. It was just the woman's vanity, and they were adding drops to tea or food or whatever.
Gotcha. It was disguised as that case.
Yeah, just sitting out.
Okay, gotcha. Yeah. So they wouldn't ever be like, oh, what's this unlabeled vial with skulls and crossbones?
Yeah. And there's actually a photo of it that I'll put up too, that they have of the poison. So because this poor woman had a change of heart, her husband arrested the woman, and on counts of premeditated murder, which she didn't go through with. So, come on.
So what would you do if Tom was like, I was originally going to poison you, but I've actually really love you and I'm really sorry, and I could have poisoned you with this bowl of soup, but I'm not. Would you just be like, would you have him arrested, or would you be like, I'm going to beat the shit out of you and then peace?
Oh, if he was trying to poison me.
Yeah, like, how would you take care of that if you'd, like, you knew somebody was going to poison you, but then they confessed?
I mean, we would probably break up.
You're like, I feel like that's a red flag.
Yeah.
But would you have him arrested?
Huh?
Would you have him arrested?
I don't know. It's hard to say.
Think about it.
Yeah, I'll have to think about it, because he didn't actually do it. And since it would be the other way around, the police would just say, well, he didn't do it, so you have to die before we have to arrest him, because you're a woman and you are a second class citizen.
Yeah.
That's basically how that would go. But if it was the other way around, I would just be arrested and charged with attempted murder. So which Julia was arrested and admitted to possibly aiding in the murder of 600 men between the years of 1630 and 1650.
Damn.
She was in the biz. She was in the biz of poisoning. So she was hanged along with her daughter and three helpers, as well as 40 or so lower class women who murdered their husbands. Rumor has it, this could be Mozart's demise, but there's no proof. And I guess he is quoted as saying that he thinks that he was poisoned with aqua tofana.
Huh. I did not know that.
Did not either. So what's in it? It is believed that she used a mixture of arsenic, lead, and belladonna, which was commonly used in cosmetics during that time of the 17th century.
Yeah. And do you grow belladonna?
No, I tried and it immediately died, because I think Tom was trying to kill them when I was gone in the field. So he probably successfully killed my belladonna and henbane.
He's like, you don't need
We'll
these
see. Ones. And that's okay. I'll get more. You were asking me, like, if Tom could do that to me, I'm like, no, he thinks I'm doing it to him, and especially with all this
uranium
glass
and all the uranium glass
with the books and all the stuff outside. He's like, yeah, don't come over, because if you touch any of the plants, you're gonna die. You have to go in the backyard and come through that way. I was like, no, I wouldn't do that either. And he looked at me
like, that is hilarious.
I go, I'm just kidding.
Oh my god, Tom.
So now we're going to talk about a few herbs. Of course, I had to talk about belladonna, just ending on the concoction from aqua tofana. And we know it as a deadly nightshade, but it's also called the devil's herb or death cherries. And it's a tall, bushy plant that produces small black berries. Light contact can cause a rash on your skin. The leaves, roots, and berries are all poisonous. Prehistoric peoples used a preparation of this plant to put on the tips of arrows and spears. During the Middle Ages, witches would mix belladonna with bear's grease to rub on their skin to hallucinate. And, you know, that's kind of goes with the henbane on the broomstick story that we discussed a few podcasts ago, episodes ago. It's also believed that that's the poison Juliet in Romeo and Juliet ingests. So also during this time, women would use belladonna eye drops to dilate their pupils for a fashionable doe-eyed appearance, hence the name beautiful woman, which is Bella beautiful and Donna woman, beautiful woman.
Oh my god,
isn't that wild? I mean, wouldn't they have been hallucinating?
Henrietta looks like she's high as fuck right now. Like she's going crazy and she's like out of her mind. Don't you think I'm beautiful?
Yeah. I mean, I could just imagine it like Betty Boop sized big black eyes, you know, like these just, isn't that what I would love to see some sort of, obviously no photograph, but like a sketch of a woman with these
the shit that women would do to be conceived as beautiful.
What do you mean would do? We're still
still
doing it. So a famous poisoning with belladonna. I have just started watching on Netflix Viking Valhalla, I think it's called that.
Yeah.
So,
I haven't heard it yet.
Yeah. And so I keep pausing it to find out historically accurate pieces of it. So it's really interesting so far. So with the 11th century Scottish king, Duncan the First killed an army of invading Danes led by Viking Sven Knudsen, by feeding them belladonna infused liquor.
Damn.
I know. So this beautiful poison book goes into what happens to your body. Do you want me to?
Yes, I want to know what happens to your body.
All right.
Hold Organs on. Start to slowly shut down, start to slowly lose your mind.
Yeah, probably. Let's see. I've got to flip through. There we go. So some symptoms. Because there's like an overview, toxic effects, symptoms, and treatment. But the symptoms. Okay. The symptoms of belladonna poisoning can set in within minutes and can last for over 10 hours or several days. Early symptoms include a dry mouth and throat, dilation of the pupils, as we know, it's a fashion statement. So you might either be just dying or using it as a fashion statement. We won't know until you're dead. And then, of course, nausea and vomiting. If left untreated, victims can experience hallucinations, delirium, a staggering gait, and extreme drowsiness.
I was like, dowsing for what? Let me gaze into the future.
In fatal cases, the victim's face becomes blushed. Oh my god, I can't read.
Y'all, blushed. She's even sober right now.
I am. Maybe that's the problem.
Her pupils are dilated.
Their breathing is jerky and their extremities grow cold. You can go into a coma and then you die. A treatment is, oh boy, can I read that?
Yeah, I was like, what is the treatment for this since it mentioned it?
Visostigmine?
What's that?
I don't know.
How do you spell it?
PHYSOSTIGMINE.
Let's see. The medication most commonly used to manage and treat anti-muscarinic toxicity and glaucoma. I don't know, but it's just a drug, like that they've, you know, made.
Basically, you're screwed if it's the 11th century or 17th century.
So,
what was that? We were talking over each other like we do.
Antelirium is the common name, but I don't know. It's a drug that pharmacists or apothecary people have made.
Nice.
Like,
basically, you're screwed if it was the 11th century or 17th century.
Probably. And I thought about it too. I was like, oh yeah, like this whole thing, this conversation reminds me of watching, spoiler alert, if you haven't seen like the newest season or the oldest season 3 of You on Netflix.
Oh yeah. Yes. That's right. Don't they do use belladonna in that?
I think they does she use belladonna or foxglove?
Oh no.
Cuz she's planting fox.
It's wolfsbane.
Gotcha. So it is wolfsbane. I remember like So I tried to say spoiler alert for those of you who don't want to see it, but like, no, it's fine. Like, I'm like, spoiler alert.
Hey, you know, it's been out for months.
Yeah.
At this point, if you haven't watched it, there's going to be spoilers.
Yeah.
Belladonna is associated with the dark goddesses Hecate and the Morrigan.
Ooh.
Yes.
As much as I love growing poisonous plants, I probably won't have belladonna growing in my yard.
No, you have a little puppers.
Yeah. And I already have Datura in the front yard, so, you know.
Yeah. Well, that's what I do. I have all my poisonous plants in the front yard. So, you know, not my dog, not my kid. Sorry. But I did tell my neighbors about it. And they moved, but there was a little girl who was very intrigued by all my flowers and would touch them. And so I told them not, like, don't have her touch these two particular, just don't have her touch the yard. But I don't want her to be afraid of flowers, you know?
Yeah.
So, yeah. And that's hard. And she was really, really young. So it probably would be a little hard for her to distinguish between, like, but these flowers are also pretty. Why can't I touch them?
Yeah.
I think I put like a kind of a fencing around those two and had them away from where she could reach. She couldn't reach them, but I still wanted to let the neighbors know, like, yeah, this is poisonous as fuck. Do not let your loved ones touch it. Four-legged or two.
Fair.
Yeah. So this one I might butcher the name because I was unfamiliar with it going into Wolfsbane. Aconite. A-C-O-N-I-T-E. I don't know if it's like ac or asinite because, you know, C's can be hard or soft.
Yeah.
I don't know it by that name. I know it better as Wolfsbane. So we're just going to call it that.
That's fair.
And it is the queen of the poisons. Again, every part of the plant is highly toxic. Some mythological corners of the globe say it comes from the hills of, and this is where that word comes in, Aconitus. I'm assuming it's a hard C, where Hercules fights Hades' three-headed guard dog, Cerberus. And the saliva from the dog is said to have landed on the plant, thus turning it into poison.
Damn. That's cool.
So going back to the witches and the flying ointments, I know we talked about henbane being the main source. A few other sources say that a combination of belladonna, henbane, and wolfsbane, all greased up on a broomstick. Boomstick or a broomstick, stuck in, you know, a certain orifice of your body. And then you can take off in flight.
Up your butt.
Up your butt or wherever you choose. We don't judge. This is a no judging zone.
I mean, it's a little bit of a judgment.
whatever you do in your own home and it doesn't hurt anyone else, be my guest.
Yeah.
Stick that boomstick right up there. So some folklore and famous poisonings. Tooth of the wolf is used by the witches in Macbeth. So that's thought to be wolfsbane. And in Chinese and Hindu medicine, it is used for rheumatism and cardiac issues. But one teaspoon of it can be fatal in an adult. So don't try this at home.
Cardiac problems. Yeah, your heart's going to stop.
I know. I was thinking that too. So a recent poisoning in 2009, a British woman poisoned her lover's curry with wolfsbane to prevent him from marrying another. He died within a few hours, and it was the first aconite poisoning in the UK since 1882.
Holy shit.
Yeah. Wild, eh?
That is wild that even like in recent times people are trying to pull this.
I know. Yeah, totally.
Especially when we have things like toxicology reports and stuff, or when people get autopsies.
Did you?
What?
You said that you had, you when working in the...
Oh, I never did. That'd be like the medical examiner's office. Okay. No, I never performed but there's obviously toxicology labs that are produced out of autopsies when people die, usually young or mysteriously.
Oh, sure. Yeah. So wolfsbane is also associated with Hecate, of course. Makes sense. I'm sure all of these are. And then last but not least, Datura, because, I had to talk about Datura.
Always. She's always our favorite.
Always, always. Commonly known as Jimson weed, thorn apple, and devil's trumpet, it is probably responsible for the most poisonings than any other plant.
Probably because dipshits decide to try and hallucinate off of it and then just take too much, like you say.
Pretty much. It's a showy plant with large white or purple flowers, so it's very pretty. I think what sets it apart is the large thorny, I don't know, what do you want to call them, capsules? I don't like the pod. Yeah, the pod. I couldn't think of the word. I'm like, what's the word? The seed pod that houses hundreds of seeds, which I have probably thousands of seeds at this point with my last Datura grow. Yeah. It's been harvested for hallucinogenic properties by indigenous peoples in the Americas as a tea or a form of tobacco. And this is done as a sacred ceremony, and they pretty much know what they're doing. But of course, the little shit teenagers try to get high off of it, like you were just saying. And these hallucinations can last days to weeks, and they don't seem to be much fun if you're not in a proper setting or have a proper guide through it. So it's definitely not.
Sounds like my worst nightmare.
Yeah, it really doesn't sound. I mean, as much as I like to hallucinate, this doesn't sound good at all. So it's possible Datura was used by Greece's oracle at Delphi. And that's all I could find on it was and by the way, this is probably what they were taking, because you can see, you're hallucinating. So you're seeing objects that aren't there, and possibly in sacred moments getting communication through spirits and ancestors and things like that. So it's possible oracles were using it for that too. However, I know Datura grows here. I don't know that it grows in Greece.
I would assume so, Mediterranean being rocky, and
that's true.
This type of soil and stuff. That's interesting, because I've actually been to Delphi and seen those Cole's rock and stuff like that with like
the
people in it. So
really,
yeah, it was pretty cool.
And there was no
Datura. I didn't see any Datura just hanging out. I've seen a ton of it when we usually like are like around the Grand Canyon or like going down to Mexico.
Yeah, that all makes sense. Utah, on the sides of the roads in Utah, it's everywhere.
You're like, look at how glorious that bush is.
Yeah, and everyone's like, ew, that gross weed. And I'm like, no, it's beautiful. There's like, just in downtown Moab, they're just all over across the street from your house or whatever.
It's yeah.
Wild. Just growing, and we're like physically planting it where there it's just obnoxiously growing, but that's fine by me.
Yeah.
So some famous poisonings in AD 38, Roman general Mark Antony and his army were retreating from Parthia and starving. Some of his soldiers ate Datura and started turning every stone, saying, leave no stone unturned, which is where that saying originated, presumably. Huh. Yeah.
What year was this?
38.
Oh, okay. I thought you said in 1838.
Oh, no.
Like, Mark Antony was
alive. You're like,
A different one. We're talking about a different one.
Yeah.
Oh, that's interesting, though, that's where that saying comes from.
I know. I love learning that. I think that part's really kind of cool to learn.
That's a fun tidbit, because when somebody says that, now you can ask, well, are you high right now?
Yeah. Did you take some Datura? Like, and then you can go nerd out on Datura with them. They'll love it. So in 2008, a family from Maryland were found confused, laughing uncontrollably. I cannot read. Holy shit. Vomiting and hallucinating. 30 minutes later, two family members fell unconscious and the others became aggressive, incoherent, and disoriented. They had eaten a stew accidentally seasoned with Datura.
Wait, how do you accidentally season a stew with Datura? Like, literally.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, no, like the way that the seeds look, like.
Yeah, nothing speaks to, I'm going to put this in my stew.
At most, they look like burnt little like bell pepper seeds.
They could, yeah. They like could look
that,
like
but who the fuck puts that in a soup? Nobody.
Yeah, not just a seed. Well, crushed bell pepper. No. Yeah, no.
Mm-mm. I'm with you. I'm just like, somebody was trying to get fucked up and fucked up.
Yeah. Was it a teenager that was, I don't know, or somebody trying to.
They're lacing the soup with Jimson weed.
I know. Let's see. That's really all I have, because I could have probably gone on forever.
I mean, this is a very interesting topic, and it was really cool to hear, like, also people trying to use it as like a murder weapon, even in the 2000s, like not that long ago.
That's what really cool to me too. I mean, of course we know like Russian poisonings, blah, blah.
Yeah.
But this is
like really the arsenic, like pills that like spies have,
yeah,
like, crack and stuff. So
put it in their mouth before they die. And then they're like, ooh.
Yeah.
Just like that.
This is really cool though. Like, I'm curious to hear if any of our listeners, if they grow gardens, if they grow any type of
poisonous
plants.
Or have you tried to poison your significant other? We'd love to hear from you from prison. Just kidding. We don't want to hear from you.
Please accept this call. Or would you like to accept this call from Utah State Penitentiaries?
No doubt. Wait.
Oh my God. That's crazy. I feel like we could go like deep. I could see how it is like a deep dive.
Yeah.
On this.
It's like, oh, and then I could do another one and then another one. It's like, no, let's just do a few that we're familiar with, but without a lot of historic or even current
You'll have to let me know if you find any like super crazy, like in that book where you're like, oh my God, like this one is just insanity to me. Like, I'm curious how do you look? Because I'm sure you're just like, you know, getting your way through it and stuff like that. It looks pretty thick. So,
yeah, it's pretty, it's a really neat book and it's pretty. So, win-win on that.
I love it.
Yeah. That's awesome.
Well, this was a good surprise episode, man.
Yay.
Like, I learned a lot and I'm also like curious about more.
Yeah, me too. Cause there's definitely, yeah, I mean, we could just do a whole season on this, but you know, we do grow a lot of these plants. So it was like, oh, let's check it out. How poison bad could it be?
Poison plants seem to be our MO this season with, talking with, you know, Avi about her paintings and stuff like that and all that. So
I'm glad you liked it.
I loved it. This was a great episode. And I feel like, again, like if any of you grow like poisonous plants or have like a wild story that you know of like poisonings utilizing plants, like let us know at wormwoodandwitches@gmail.com or DM us.
Did your grandmother poison your grandfather by accident or by purpose? We'd love to hear from you.
Did she get away with it?
And did she get away with it? You can stay anonymous.
I love it.
Yeah. Until then.
It's until next time.
Oh, is it? until next time.
Keep murdering your significant other.
On that
or gazing into the unknown and listening to oracles because you're high as fuck.
Yeah.